Welcome to another class from God's Word. We're teaching the book of Acts by induction from Greek reading and research. We're reading the Greek and then we're going back and, well, we're translating it and telling you a little bit about the grammar and the language. And then we're going back to the Amplified Bible and reading it to keep it all together in sense. And where we are now is the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, verse number 21. And we're talking about the Jerusalem Council. And let's recap that just a little bit. What has come up here in the Jerusalem Council? We got some things out of there that really weren't going on there a while ago. But what is going on here now? What was the big issue? Okay, now we've had speakers. We had the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. We had Peter. And we've had James as speakers. James is the moderator and pastor of the church at Jerusalem. Now, they're making a decision. What the problem was all about is that some of the Pharisees that had become saved were trying to bring Judaism into Christianity. Judaism was actually laid aside, because Christ was the fulfillment of all of Judaism's feasts and ceremonies, the sacrifices and all. Jesus Christ was our sacrifice and the Lamb of God. And the Old Testament sign of the covenant was circumcision. Circumcision is no longer involved in salvation at all. It might be a man that is circumcised is less likely to give his wife cervical cancer, for one thing. He is less likely to have other problems because circumcision makes him a little more hygienically clean. That's a good reason medically to be circumcised. But today, some groups of people are saying we're sexually mutilating our sons when we're circumcising them. This group of people. Well, not only did they want to make them be circumcised, but they wanted them to keep the whole law of Moses, didn't they? So now, what was the decision, according to James, the moderator, of the council at the Church of Jerusalem, which was an association meeting? What did he say? What did he say? Do you remember? Yes. Okay, now, he said in verse 19, therefore it is my opinion that we should put no obstacles in the way and annoy and disturb those who Gentiles who turn to God. But we should send word to them in writing to abstain from and avoid anything that has been polluted by being offered to idols. Now, Paul said, don't even ask about this, didn't he? When he's talking about the Corinthian church, he said, don't worry about this, just don't ask any questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Been polluted by being offered to idols and sexual impurity. And most of this sexual impurity they're talking about here is that in these temple sacrifices, they were prostitutes. And prostitution is...
talking about
the temple
prostitution and
all. Yes. Yeah. All of this, just stay away from all this idolatry, okay? And this sexual impurity here is what Judah partook of, and what Ahab and Jezebel were practicing there in their kingdom. And meat of animals that had been strangled and tasting of blood, actually the drinking of blood. If you go into Africa today, you'll see some of the tribes there. They will tap into an artery in a Brahma cow, and they'll drink this blood. And they'll swear they're not going to drink, do anything but drink blood until they find a wife or whatever. This is idolatry, and actually is what it is, idolatry. And besides that, the Bible says life is in the blood, and the blood of animals and humans is sacred. Now, your Jehovah's Witness brethren go a little too far, saying that we cannot give transfusions to people because we're feeding them through the veins. No, we're giving them blood that'll keep them alive. Now, I've had blood before given to me, quite a few pints, back in 1971 when I had my back operation. In 2003, when I had my cancer operation, they drained a lot of blood out of me, but then they gave me back, and I was anemic for a long time. But beyond that, there is we're not supposed to eat blood because it's sacred to God. It says here in verse number 20 more, from ancient generations, Moses had in every town his preachers, for he was read aloud in every Sabbath in the synagogues. Now, actually, the synagogues didn't get started until over there in Babylon. But they read it in every town in Israel. They had a local gathering place where the law of Moses was read. Okay, 15 verse number 22. The reply of the council, the reply of the gathered brethren, tote idote, edoxe, tois apostolois, verse number 22, kai tois presbyteros, sin hole te ekklesia ekleixa menus, andros ex auto pempsa ace antiakon, sin ton paulon, kai barnaba, udea ton kolomenon, barsabon, kai silon, andros, ego menus, en tois adelphois. Then it was given. An answer was given by the apostles, or to the apostles, and to the elders, with the whole entire church having agreed upon this. They voted upon this, including the women. Okay, women? Including the women.
Okay.
Having been picked out men out of them to send to Antioch with Paul. Now they're going to go, now this church at Jerusalem, even though they're not the master church, even though they're not the big church, they're going to tell the church at Antioch their guidelines of what they have, what all the apostles have decided upon. Now, these men were inspired of God, weren't they? Apostles were sent out from God with authority. And Antioch with Paul and Barnabas and Judas and one being called Barsabbas and Silas, men leading brethren among the men. Leading brethren among the men. Verse number 23 now. Are you found your place there, Marilyn?
Yes.
Okay. Graphantes, dia keros, auton hoi apostoloi, kai hoi presbyteroi, adelphoi, tois kata tain antiochion, kai Syrian, kai Kilakion, Adelphois, tois ex ethnon Kyrene. And having written by the agency of the hand of them, the apostles and the elders. In other words, they all sent this letter and agreed to this letter. And brothers, to the ones according to Antioch, to the church in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, and brothers to all out of the nations, greeting. Now this is going to be what kind of a letter? What kind of letter is this going to be? This is a circular letter to all the churches. And here we have it today, don't we? In the book of Acts. Luke wrote it down, this circular letter. Matter of fact, there are many church letters written in the book of Acts, aren't there? It is a history of the apostles and a history of the early churches and a history of the doctrines of the churches. Verse number 24, Epadein akousamen hote tenes ex himon ex el thontes etaroxon himas logois anas ku a sontes tas psychus Himon, hois, u, dia, ste, la, metha. Since they were heard that some out of us having been sent out, or having going out, they troubled you. Some of us among this church troubled you. Etaroxon, they troubled you. That means to harass. They harassed you. Tarasso, they harassed you with words unsettling. Anaskiozontes, words unsettling. It comes from ana and skuazo. This means to stir up and to torture and to intimidate the minds of you. Actually, it's the souls of your souls. To whom not we gave a commission. We did not send them out. We did not give them any commission to go do that to you. This church had nothing to do with this. This was a false representation of the church at Jerusalem. Verse number 25 now. Edoxen himen genomenois homothymadon eklezomenos andros pemsa tros himas sin tois aga petois himon barnaba kai paulo. And it seemed good to us, having become of one mind and having picked out men to send to you all with the ones beloved of us, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. 1526, Anthropois para dedokose tas psychos, auton hyper tu onomatos tu curio himon esu Christu. Men, plural. Men having given up their lives, the lives that belonged to them, they gave up their lives on behalf of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave up their lives, their souls, for the very purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to compare myself with Paul and Barnabas, because I'm not worthy. But my whole life, Marilyn, we've been married 22 years. What has been the focus of my life?
Preaching.
Preaching. God called me to preach, and I tried to do it the best I can. I have suffered greatly with bad health for nearly all of my life since I was 21 years old. And actually, I was not very well before that, because I was raised in abject poverty, and I didn't have the right kind of food to eat, or I was malnourished, and had food poisoning a lot of times. So now I'm pretty crippled up with a fused back and a broken neck two times, and cancer and radiation, and mercury and arsenic poisoning and things, and still yet God called me to do this. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm about. I do other little things. I enjoy shooting and going and looking at the countryside, but the biggest part of my life is in this library and preaching the word all over the world, because that's what God called me to do. That's why I'm alive here today. They gave up their very souls on behalf of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord for men throughout America and throughout the world that have set aside their lives for preaching the gospel. Now, we see people, pastors, sometimes that are, there are pastors of mega churches that are making a lot of money. They have a very wealthy lifestyle. But those men in little churches doing exactly the same they are preaching the Word of God. They may not be reaching 10,000 people per service, but they're preaching the Word of God. So all men stand evil in the eyes of God. What really makes a difference is why you do it. Why do you preach? Why do you preach? I once told a man, I said, God called me to preach, and I'll preach if I have to pay to preach, which I've done most of my life. It is, and I have, really. Now that the websites are up, we can reach the whole world. And Paul was reaching the whole world, and the words that Paul spoke and the words recorded here at the Jerusalem Council are given to us, and we spread it all over the world. Somebody may never hear this if we don't preach it. So that's what we're here to do. Verse number 27, apostol kamen, un udon kai silon kai autois dia logon apongalontes ta auta. And we sent therefore Judah, James, and Silas, and they, by the agency of the spoken word, announcing these same things to you all. Verse number 28 now. Hedoxon, gar to numati, to hagio, kai himen, maidane, pleon, epitetheiste, himen, baros, plain, tuto, ton, epang, epanages. For it seemed good that the Holy Spirit, and to us, nothing more to put upon or to place upon you a burden than these basic things that are necessary. These basic things that are necessary. And what were they? What were the things that were necessary? Remember? Abstain from idols and idolatry. Don't drink blood and don't fornicate. As simple as that. Don't have anything to do with these false religious systems. Just stay away from them. Stay away from it. And preach the word. And preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Verse number 29, the rules for the Gentiles. Apekeste idola theton kai hamatos kai nikton kai poneas ex hon dia terontes iautos en proxete eroste. Do abstain from or hold yourself away from idol sacrifices and blood and things strangled, things that were strangled in sacrifices. They strangled the animals instead of cutting their throats. And from sexual impurity, fornication, prostitution, and fornication related to idolatry, out of which, keeping yourselves, ye will do enjoy firm and strong health, basically. You will fare well. You will having fared well. Verse number 30 now. Hoi main un apo li thantes katal katelthon eis antiochion kai sina gogontes to plethos epidokon tain epistolane. For the ones, therefore, indeed, having been dismissed, they went unto Antioch, and having assembled the multitude, they handed to them the letter. They handed to them the letter. Verse number 31, Anagonontes de Ekareson epi te paraklese. And having read, upknow, that word read means to upknow. That's when you see something down on paper and you can know it and it comes up to you. And having upknowed, or they read, they rejoiced. They were caused to rejoice at the exhortation. They were happy. They didn't want to go out and be circumcised. They didn't want to go out and make all these sacrifices. They wanted to concentrate their mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 32. Judas, te, kai, silos, kai, autoi, prophete, ontes, dia, logon, polu, parakalesem, tous adelphus, kai apesterizon. And then it says, James or Judas or Judah and Silas, also themselves prophets, being prophets, through speech much, they exhorted the brothers, and they confirmed. It means they made these words stand upon, literally, stand up. They confirmed and they put a foundation under these words. Verse number 33. Poiesantes de chronon apelistason meth erenes apoton adelphos pros tus Apostolantes, autus. And having continued there for a time, they were dismissed with peace from the brothers to the ones having been sent to them. And then we'll quit at number 35. 34 is not in the original language, by the way. It's not in any Greek manuscript. Old Greek manuscript, I might say. Paulos de Kai Barnabas dia tribon en Antiochion didaskates Kai Ioanga lisomenoi meta Kai heteron Paulon ton logon tu kriu. Paul and Barnabas, they kept on rubbing out time. Remember what that means? They kept on rubbing out time. Remember that? Remember what rubbing out time means? To spend the night. They kept on killing. Yes. They spent the night. They kept on rubbing out time, spending night in Antioch, teaching, constantly teaching, and constantly preaching, evangelizing. Actually, it's what it means, evangelizing for themselves, with also others, different ones, many different ones of the crowd belonging to the Lord. Now let's go back, and we're going to read this from where we left off. We'll start at verse number 21. From ancient times and generations, Moses had in every town his preachers, for he was read about in every Sabbath in the synagogues, in the gathering places. Then the apostles and the elders, together with the whole church, resolved to select men from among them, a number, and send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. And they chose Judas, called Barnabas. Judas called Barnabas. And Silas, both leading men among the brethren, and they sent them. With them they sent the following letter, the brethren both to apostles and elders, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greeting. Now these are different churches. This letter was sent out to different churches. Now as far as we know, they've got several churches meeting in association meeting when they get there. There's a great assembly of churches there. The leaders from the churches. And as we have heard that some persons from our number have disturbed you with the teaching and unsettling your minds, your souls, and throwing you into confusion, although we gave them no express orders or instructions on the points in question. It has been resolved by us in this church, to select men and send them as messengers to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men who have hazarded their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. They've spent their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent Judas and Silas, who also themselves will bring you the same message by word of mouth. For it has seemed us good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to lay upon you any great burden than these indispensable requirements. To abstain from that has been sacrificed to idols, and from tasting blood, and from eating the meat of animals that has been strangled, and from sexual impurity. And if you keep yourselves from these things, you will fare well. So when the messengers were sent off, and they went down to Antioch, and having been assembled, the whole congregation, they delivered the letter. And when they read it, the people rejoiced at the consolation and encouragement it brought to them. They were confused. They were troubled. Their souls were troubled. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, inspired interpreters of the will and purposes of God, urged and warned and consoled and encouraged the brethren with many words and strengthened them. That made them stand on a great foundation. And after spending some time there, they were sent back by the brethren with a greeting of peace to those who have been sent. Through Silas decided to stay on there. That's the word that was not there. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, and with many others also continued teaching and proclaiming the word of the Lord concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in God's kingdom. In verse number 36, is where we will start the next time. Number 36. Do you have any questions on any of this, Marilyn?
Was that the seven churches of Ephesus?
The seven churches of Asia. Well, no, not really yet.
Oh, okay.
But this will go out to all the churches, including the seven churches of Asia, as they were established.
Okay.
Now,
I got the question.
Yes. Yes.
I get that. But later on, Paul was saying, it's not really necessary. It's just if it's...
Just don't ask where it came from. Because he said by inspiration now, Paul said by inspiration, an idol is nothing. But
right.
if I'm going to offend my brother, I won't eat at all.
Okay.
I won't eat any meat ever.
Yeah.
Well, Paul was done this by inspiration. In all reality, who ordered this? It was the apostles, of course, and they were very important men. And they put these little limits upon them, which wasn't very much, was it? There's no circumcision, no feast. Very, yeah, very little essential things. And that Paul, the apostle, later on, in these areas, just said, when you go in there, don't worry about it. Just eat and shut up and sit down. That's all.
Yeah.
Don't ask any questions.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's perfectly fine to drink wine, but a lot of people think that's just taboo. So if I'm around someone who thinks it's taboo, I don't bring it up. I don't drink it.
Yeah.
You know, even though I personally think it's totally fine, and I think they're a little hypersensitive, but I respect where they are.
Yeah. Yeah, we do that. We respect those people.
Yeah.
Yeah, we respect them. That's what Paul said. He said, I won't eat any meat at all if it offends my brother. I'll just go on. I won't even eat if that's necessary. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of times that Paul didn't eat too, didn't he? A lot of times he didn't eat. Yeah. A lot of times he didn't eat, and they didn't have much to drink either. Nor did he have enough clothes to keep him warm on his back. What Paul went through, we wouldn't do today. We're too lazy. We're too easy. Though in parts of the world today, Christians' lives are not easy lives, are there? We ought to be thankful where we are, at least for today, whether it's that way tomorrow or not.
Yeah, well, there's too many Christians in this country. They would have a hard time. But I mean, the pressure's on, definitely. I mean,
yes.
You know, you can see that. The pressure's on.
Well, let's have a...
For a while.
Yeah. Well, do you have any other questions before we have a prayer and dismiss? Okay. Our Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for the simple instruction to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Confess with the mouths that he is Lord and God, and you raised him from the dead and that he died for us. Repent of our sins and call upon you to save our souls, and that's so simple. And Father, thank you for all the blessings you get. I hope that this message, and I pray that it goes out and touches people's lives all over the world. In Jesus' name I pray.